You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, November 10th, 11:15 on the East Coast. Here to recap what we saw last night in the NBA and also discuss the four-game schedule in the NBA tonight. Shorter schedule as it usually is on Thursdays, but hey, we break down every single game here on the NBA Gambling Podcast. And boy, were the guys on fire last night. I think that's an understatement. But joining me, as usual, on these pods, on the NBA Gambling Podcast, first, the man that does it both on and off the court for SGPN, host of the Tennis Gambling Podcast, also on the Fantasy Football Podcast, the NFL Gambling Podcast, the WNBA Gambling Podcast. It's Scott Studio Reichel. Scott, what's going on, my man?
Nothing much. Good to be back. I know Terrell and I crushed it yesterday. I'm sure Terrell and I are going to take a victory lap in a second about it. Terrell especially, because I know that he has been calculating some of the parlay odds that we talked about yesterday, and that was a pretty nice payday. But we crushed it. It was a great Wednesday, and let's carry it over and have a great Thursday.
Sir, and also joining us, the superstar of the show. You guys know him better as the villain. It's Terrell Furman Jr. Terrell, what's going on, my man?
Fellas, what's going on? I mean, we can get to the touting. That's easy because we said Ja, we said SGA, we said Book, we said DeMar. We said they was all going to have a big game. And guess what? You got 30-plus points from each and every one of them. So, for sure, we definitely cooked up there. It was around 36 to 1 for a 30-point parlay for them. 13-1 if you just took the points prop straight, like we said, 36 if you took that points parlay. And then, hey, we was close to the 35. Like, everybody was almost at that 35. Shea hit it, but we almost hit that 35 piece. So it was a good day. My picks on the show weren't good, but the props came in for us.
Yeah, hell of a night for the guys last night. And this is why you listen to the NBA Gambling Podcast, because casually just giving out a, what was it, the Terrell, 35-1 parlay?
Yeah, 35, 36, something like that.
Yeah, just on a random Wednesday night here on the NBA Gambling Podcast. But hey, hopefully we can carry that momentum into tonight. I know shorter slate, but hey, hopefully we can put some more cash in your guys' pockets. We can start with some stuff last night before we get into the games here. I know it's only four games, but Scott, let me start with you. I know we were talking extensively offline about the New York Knicks and some odds that you found for the next coach to be fired. But let's start with that game. Brooklyn Nets come out and just absolutely mop the floor with the New York Knicks. They get the victory last night, but the Knicks seems like they're a little bit lost out there despite what their record is right now. But what were your kind of takeaways from the game between the Knicks and the Nets?
The takeaway was that the game was about 5 minutes long, and then the game was over at that point. The Nets kind of just blitzed him from the opening tip, and the game was over. Randall did me a solid. I double-double as my dog, and that ended up cashing. But Yeah, the whole team looked awful. There was no overall cohesion offensively, and the only saving grace for Thibodeau was the defense for the last couple of years, and that stung too. So the offense still looks extremely just discombobulated. The defense is falling apart too. Is there anything to like about this team right now? Because Barrett has not improved at all. He looks like the exact same guy. Brunson was horrible last night, so I don't think he's looked very good or comfortable in this offense. Randall looked fine. He also attempted 7 3-pointers in the first quarter. I don't really know what that was about. He made 4 of them. But it was really just a weird overall game flow from the Knicks, just offensively and defensively. I think Cam Reddish is a bottom 10 player in the league. I think he's absolutely terrible. But I'm just looking at the Knicks roster. Is there anything to like about this team right now? Because Brunson looks uncomfortable. Barrett has really not progressed at all. And Randall's still going to do a bunch of ISO-heavy offense, and that works on occasion. It's not great long-term. I mentioned Thibodeau to get fired at 10-1, but whatever they're trying, it's not working.
I think it kind of goes back to what we've seen Thibodeau throughout his career, that he doesn't want to play the young guys and he relies on the veterans too much, where the veterans aren't very good on this team. Like you mentioned, Julius Randle jacked up 7 3-point shots. I know he made some there, but
that was the first quarter. He attempted a lot more after that.
And after that, I was watching this game, and the offense just looked just discombobulated last night for this Knicks team. And I think that's kind of been the theme from there throughout the season. And I know they're sitting, what, at 5-6 so far this season, which isn't too bad through 11 games. But
throwing five against teams above 500.
Yeah. So, and again, they're beating up on the weaker competition, but you're not having success against teams like you just mentioned that are good at basketball and teams that are successful in this league. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of transpires with Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks there, because they have a lot of young talent on that roster. Terrell, I don't know if you want to get into the Knicks or Nets, but anything else around the association that you saw last night that may have caught your eye?
I think the game put him to sleep. I think that's why he's yawning. Game was over, early, you know?
At halftime, it was – or actually at the end of the first or midway through that second, that game was over.
Yeah.
No, I just got bored listening to you guys because you're talking about all the stuff that I already knew about the Knicks. I already knew the Knicks were going to, you know, get into this mode, and this is how they be, and Thibodeau is this and that and the third. Like, I knew this, so I just got a little tired listening to y'all talk about it because they are who we thought they are. They are exactly who we thought they are. They have talent. They have a pretty decent roster. They don't have the leadership to put it all together. That's why the Knicks will amount to nothing other than being a 500 team. It's about where it's going to be at. May win some games, going to lose some games.
I don't even think they're a 500 team at this point, just based on the fact that it really looks like this offense is somehow even worse than it was previously, and the defense has fallen apart. Are we sure this team's even going to finish like 5 games under? They might finish 10 games under or more. It looks rough. The framework's there for potential implosion.
I don't think it looks that bad. I think it might. I think you're gassing it from one bad game. I don't think it looks that bad. But they exactly what I said they are. They're a 500 team that is probably going to either fuck or bless people with their win total. They're not going to amount to anything. Probably going to just miss a playing game, and it's going to be a wash of a season. They're not going to get Victor, and they're not going to get in the playoffs. It's exactly what this Knicks team is. That's exactly what the preview for they are, and that's what they've been for years. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised. I'm really not surprised in the turnout and what they had last game. We'll just see how the rest of the season goes and, you know, pick your spots well with the Knicks.
I kind of want to pivot, though. Can we talk about the Nets for a second? Because I do have a question that I want to ask. I immediately bet on the Nets to miss the playoffs when Kyrie got suspended. I wasn't a fan of how the team was playing. It was like plus 260. It was still very good plus odds. I took it. And the Nets, without Kyrie, have been good. In fact, really good. If you just go through the actual defensive numbers, they're one of the best defensive teams in the league without Kyrie. Yeah. I know last year with Memphis, we saw it, how the team kind of stepped up without its star point guard. Not the same situation, but still. I am going to ask you guys, though, is this just fool's gold based on a short-term little improvement? Are the Nets actually better without Kyrie? Because they look like a completely different team.
I think that you are on the right track, but you are saying the wrong person. And it's easy. It's easy to throw this all on Kyrie.
Sorry, Steve Nash.
It's so easy.
We're going Steve Nash?
Yes, Steve Nash and Kyrie left at the same time. Now, okay. It is impossible for us to differentiate if this is because of Steve Nash or Kyrie. I lean more to the Steve Nash side in saying that this is the Steve Nash's doing, and he was just a really bad coach for this team, and Jackie Vaughn has come in and got this team playing better. Now, we'll have to wait till Kyrie comes back, and we'll see if it regresses and comes back. Or if they continue on the pace that they're – well, they're not going to continue on this pace. But yeah. If they still become a better-than-average team. But I am one to say that I believe it was Steve Nash and not Kyrie Irving.
That's a fair distinction to make. I kind of just meant ever since all the turmoil and since they made the coaching change and since Kyrie hasn't been playing, the defensive numbers have gone through the roof in a very positive way for the Nets. And that was kind of the shocking part. Now, you're looking at the overall teams they've played against – it has not been the greatest level of competition. They lost a heartbreaker to Dallas, which was the case with Kyrie in the lineup as well. They lost in overtime in that matchup the first time around. But they beat the Wizards. I think the Wizards stink. They beat the Hornets. That team's terrible. And they beat the Knicks last night. And I don't think the Knicks are very good either. So you could argue that strength of schedule has benefited the Nets lately. But maybe Terrell can also point to it because even though the Knicks completely no-showed the game last night, they were terrible. The Nets were doing a lot of really impressive stuff, both offensively and defensively, and it seems like the cohesion with this team has really flipped overnight. Now, I'm not saying my bet is automatically screwed because it's plus 260. It's a long season. Durant's going to play a bunch of minutes. I know he had a triple-double last night. He was great. But what do you think, Terrell? Because I do feel like whether it's Kyrie or Nash not being there, the chemistry with this team has been really, really just noticeable. And I feel like that's been a huge step for this team moving forward.
Yeah. I just cannot get really, really into this Nets team right now because I have to see them play better competition.
You need a bigger sample size, I guess.
Yeah, it's just too small of a sample size for me to jump on the bandwagon one way or another.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it play out. What I will say is that Ben Simmons coming off of the bench might not be the worst thing for him. It just might not be that.
You got to ease him back into it with no pressure.
Yeah, and with no pressure, nothing to worry about. Like, well, try to limit the pressure as much. And how do you limit pressure? You limit his minutes, and you limit the time he's on the court. Let him look good in the short time that he's on the court. And then once he starts ramping up his minutes, then you got to remember, he didn't play basketball for a year. So I think I'm interested in what Jackie Vaughn is doing with Ben Simmons. This has been what I've been watching this entire time and what he's doing with Ben Simmons. Because if he can ramp Ben Simmons up and he can rebuild Ben Simmons' confidence on the court, then this Nets team's going to be scary. I'll say that because I truly do believe, while I shit on Ben Simmons all the time, that he is a good player.
I think we're going to find out who the squad really is in the next 8 games for this Nets team. 7 out of their next 8 games are on the road, and they have some good competition that are going to be they're going up against. They have the 2 LA teams, they have Sacramento, they have Portland, so they have their West Coast trip, then they have Memphis, and then they come back after that home game against Memphis to go to Philly, to Toronto, and to Indiana. So despite what you just said, Scott, about them playing lesser competition, that's for sure. But I think what's been more impressive, at least over the last 4 games, is that they haven't allowed the opposing team to score more than 100 points in those games.
It's the effort for me. Defensively, they really look like they care. And that's something that they never showed under Nash. I know that Kyrie was, ignoring some play calls. Seems like the team kind of tuned him out. I don't blame them. I don't think he's a good coach either. But it seems like Vaughn has been a very nice injection of life to this overall roster. But I guess the overall question that I'm asking solely from yesterday's game, were the Nets really good? Were the Knicks terrible? Or was it a mix of the two? Because I couldn't really tell watching the game. The Knicks just looked like they were just not interested in playing a game of basketball last night.
I think defensively, the Nets looked good because the length with Simmons and with Claxton, even he's looked good. Durant was blocking shots. They're making that effort on defense. So I think that, again, these next about 7 to 8 to 9 games, we'll find out where the mentality is and what the effort is going to look like from this Nets team. That what we saw over this last 4 or 5 games, is it is it fool's gold like you mentioned, or is there something legitimate to this team on the defensive side of the basketball? Because we know when you have Kevin Durant, guy that can go out and score 30 points for you every single night, you know, and you got Seth Curry back, you have Joe Harris, guys that can knock down shots for you. Defensively is what I want to see, like you mentioned there, Scott. So it'll be interesting to see now when, at what point do they get Kyrie back, because they suspended him for 5 games. I know the Nets put out those stipulations for him to return to the team. I think he's probably going to miss some more time.
But he's not doing that, and they're not going to accept that for him to come back. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
The NBAPA, the NBAPA is actively fighting that, and they are, you know, drawing up paperwork and stuff, just basically saying, come on, that's like unreasonable. Like, the players don't agree that that should be the punishment. And I would be interested to hear what the league has to say about it. I don't think that he's not going to do that stuff. They're going to let him back, and he's not going to do it.
Yeah. I also don't want to spend too much time talking about what happened yesterday, but I know LG's been ranting a bit in the comment section about the Cavaliers last night against the Kings.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't really know where to start evaluating the Kings, because the talent's undeniable. We know that from 1 to 5, you can argue LeVert should be a bench player. You know, I get it. The point is they have a lot of talent overall. The issue with the Cavs last year was fourth quarter execution, mostly down the stretch of games. And they have won a couple close games. They beat Boston in overtime. They had a couple of nice wins there. But I still see glimpses of some questionable final couple minutes there under Bickerstaff. Do you guys have any thoughts on the Cavs? Because I still want to really like this team. But a lot of their execution late in games still kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Any of you have thoughts on that? Is that just me who noticed that too? Because it seems like fourth quarter late game execution, it's a little bit iffy at times.
Yeah, and I think for Bickerstaff, it was the second year as the full-time head coach. Yeah, I get it. Like, if you take a look at their wins, they've mostly been blowout victories by 10 or more points, right? And the two losses or the three losses they have had has been two of the three have been by 3 or less points. So, yeah, I think you're probably onto something there. I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of Cavs games so far this season. But, when we talked about what we liked about the Pelicans, about their length and things like that, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are that team, right? You have your two guards in the backcourt. I think the question is JB Bickerstaff. Like, I know we talked a lot about him for Coach of the Year last year, what he was able to do with the Cavs, but I think now
you guys did. I was never
on that. Yeah, we did. Terrell and I did. But I think we'll find – again, it's hard right now that we have – most of these teams have 10 to 11 games under their belt. But I don't know. I think that give me another maybe 5 to 7 games here to really give a concrete answer on these teams and coaches. But look, they're off to a good start. They're still 8-3.
Oh, they're still a very good team. It's just 2 games ago, they lost to the Clippers. They led by 13 with 5 minutes to go. And then you just figure, like, that's a game you need to win. You got Mitchell, who's playing MVP level. He's a closer.
Yeah.
But you're up 10 with, like, 230. You're up 10 with 240 to go against the Clippers, and you lose the game. And then against the Kings, you have a massive comeback just to really fall apart again the final 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's full on panic mode for the Cavs, but I'm not going to anoint them as being a serious threat to win the East if I don't trust them to close out games in the final couple minutes.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a coaching thing, right, too. That's where the head coach comes and has to make those adjustments as well about closing out games and executing down the stretch as well. So, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Charles, you have any thoughts on that?
I'm not worried. It was a bad spot, West Coast road trip, and they just weren't prepared for the Clippers. At the end of the Clippers game, Lakers just suck. Like, the Lakers just
suck. I was going to say that they were prepared for the Clippers game, though, because they were up 13 with, like, 3 minutes
left. I'm saying that they weren't prepared in just the fact of closing out games. Like, you go on a West Coast trip, your body is tired. You're tired. The travel, the playing the games, all of that, that's tiring. And they ran out of gas. They ran out of gas in that game. They didn't come. They looked over the Kings and didn't come ready and then tried to mount a comeback and ended up falling on their face. I just think it was a bad spot for them. I'm not really looking too deep into it. I need a larger sample size to tell me that I can't trust this Cleveland team, because they just rolled off 8 straight wins.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I'm just saying, keep an eye on a potential trend brewing. The Cavaliers late in games, they could be a lot better. That's really the only point I'm just saying. Keep an eye on it.
Yeah, next 3 games for them, they finish up their West Coast trip with Golden State, and they go home for Minnesota, and then they go to the road to Milwaukee. So 2 out of 3 games are, or at least, you know, better competition so far are coming up in their schedule here.
And by the way, if any of you are expecting a Lakers breakdown, they're not worth our time. We got better things to do.
Yeah, let's get over to the games here tonight, guys. And before we get into that, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Be on the lookout for WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WinBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. For boosted same-game parlays, live in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet 100, win 100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you're somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, gentlemen, four games on the Thursday schedule here in the NBA. Let's start it off with the Dallas Mavericks. Coming off of a loss to the Orlando Magic, they head to the nation's capital to take on the Washington Wizards. 7 o'clock Eastern start for this game. Looking at the line for this game, the Dallas Mavericks opened up as a 3.5-point favorite. That number has stayed the course over on WinBet at -3.5. Total is also steady at 208.5 for this game. Taking a look at the injury report for both of these teams. Not yet one submitted, for the Dallas Mavericks because they did play last night. We do know that Christian Wood is going to be missing a few more games for the Dallas Mavericks. Looking at the injury report for the Washington Wizards, Bradley Beal is out for this game. He is in health and safety protocols. Taj Gibson questionable tonight with a neck strain. And that is pretty much it here. So Dallas still laying Dallas laying 3.5 points here on the road. Scott, let me start with you on this game, Dallas versus Washington.
So I know yesterday Terrell and I actually thought that Orlando might have a potential shot at that game just because we thought it'd be a rock fight, and it actually was. I mentioned Wendell Carter having a big game on the glass. I think he had 12 rebounds, 13 rebounds or something, but he did a double-double.
He Dallas really pulled it through in the second half.
Did. He had two rebounds
in the first half. Like, he really clutched that through. I had the prop, and I was just sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, two rebounds. Like,
there was one game earlier this year. I had Carter Jr. over 9.5. He had 0 rebounds in the first half, and he had 9 in the second half. He still went under, but the point is, he's been a massive second half rebounding guy. Still, the point is, Dallas is a team that just frustrates me. And especially without Wood, who's arguably their second best player this season, they don't really have any offense besides Luka. He does everything for this team. And I do think that even though Dallas is still probably going to make the playoffs, Luka might win MVP, the usage rate is through the roof. They don't have any secondary scoring options. And with Wood being out, it's going to really hurt, especially the front court, because they have no centers. McGee is a shell of his former self. He barely plays now. You have Dwight Powell, who I know a lot of us liked for props, but he's not exactly a good center. And who's your other center now? Maxi Kleber? Yeah. Like, you don't have any front court depth at all that are actually good. And the Wizards are a team that I personally don't like at all. I think this team is awful. I've watched them play a couple of times. Kuzma, I like. He's been good. Beal, we know, is good, but he's not going to play. The rest of their supporting cast is so bad. Kispert's never healthy. I also don't think he's very good. You're looking at Avdija, who I wanted to like. I don't think he belongs in the NBA. I think he's a terrible basketball player. And I think if you're looking at Will Barton, I know that Munaf and I have really disliked Will Barton for a long time. Hachimura's been a mess this season. Gafford doesn't really do much anymore. I actually like Gafford. They just don't play him enough.
Yeah.
I'm just going through the rotation here. They have a lot of guys who I don't think would be playing on good teams. And I know I might sound harsh on Avdija, but if you watch him play, he's really bad, and he plays a bunch of minutes. I don't think this depth is any good for the Wizards. You could argue a back-to-back. There might be some fatigue involved. If you lose to Orlando, you better be motivated for the second night of a back-to-back. I'm taking Dallas. I really think this Wizards team is a train wreck, and their bench unit especially. The thing is, if Beal's out, who's going to step up? You need Kuzma to go for 30. You need Porzingis. Porzingis better go for 30 in this game based on the matchups.
Yeah.
But I hate their bench. I hate their overall shooting depth. I'm going to go with the Mavericks and hope they bounce back after a relative no-show against Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, last night against afternoon yesterday, it was an early start because of the weather down there in Florida. Shout out to everybody down there. Hope y'all are staying safe down there. But Luka last night, 9 of 29 from the floor.
And they lost.
And they still got 29 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. So, yeah, I expect, you know, Luka to bounce back here tonight. And exactly what you said there, Scott, is that I already took a Porzingis prop here tonight, over 20.5 points here. He's going to have to be that guy tonight, especially the matchups that he should be able to take advantage of with the lack of size to guard a guy like Porzingis who can, you know, knock down the long-range jump shot and finish around the basket as well. So I think he's going to have to be the guy here tonight for the Washington Wizards from a prop perspective. But, Terrell, let me get to you on the side, and then we can talk about the total and player props in this game. But what do you think as far as the Dallas Mavericks as a 3.5-point favorite here?
Yeah, I'll back the Mavericks as a 3.5-point favorite. I think that they just have more options than what this Wizards team has right now. And the ability for Dallas to play their kind of basketball and just find different ways to put the ball in the rim. Like I said, Luka was underwhelming last night. I expect a bounce back night for him. And there's not so many times where Luka can go out here and drop 30 plus 35, 40 points. And the Mavericks not come out here and get a win, especially with Spencer Dinwiddie playing as well as he is alongside him. Depth is always an issue, but at this point, I like the starters for Dallas a lot more than I like the starters for the Wizards right now. Like Scott said, Kyle Kuzma, I think that he could have a pretty solid game here. And I like your angle on Porzingis right now. Looking towards Porzingis rebounds, they're 7.5 right now, juiced.
He better get a double-double in this game.
Yeah,
I
don't know. He just is very passive near the rim. I think I kind of like Kyle Kuzma a little bit more than Porzingis. Mm-hmm. He's really passive around the rim. And we'll try to step out and stretch the defense so he's not in position for a lot of those rebounds. And that's really the issue with Kyle Kuzma and playing Porzingis rebounds, because both of them are playing as the bigs of this team. So they both try to step out to the outside and pull the bigs out of the paint, and they're not in position for a lot of those rebounds. But I'll be looking at rebounds for Porzingis and Kuzma tonight.
If he's ever going to have a double-double, this is the matchup to do it. Like, Porzingis has to at least embrace a bigger responsibility of, I got Dwight Powell on me. I'm going to have maybe Kleber on me late in games. I got to be aggressive. You're just hoping he actually does it.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at what Porzingis has done against the Mavs in his career, and this was before and where one game after where he has played the Dallas Mavericks. He's played them 5 times in his career. He's gone over 20.5 points in 4 of the 5 games against the Dallas Mavericks. So, and again, like I mentioned, with Bradley Beal being out, it's going to be him and Kuzma having to carry the scoring load this season in this game without Bradley Beal being there. He's only had one game where he's had more than 9 rebounds. That was all the way back in 2016. But his last game, last season, earlier this year, April 1st, 30 minutes, 24 points, 9 rebounds for Kristaps Porzingis in that game, was 2 of 4 from the 3-point line as well in that game. So I think, yeah, you guys are right. Kuzma and the Porzingis show here tonight for the Wizards. Any thoughts on the total here, Terrell, at 208.5?
208.5. I'm going over. I think this is an over game. I'm very still questionable about this Mavs defense this year. It just seems like they haven't clicked all the way. And Orlando, really more of a slow, ugly game team sometimes, so not really looking too deep into that last night. I think that they shoot the ball a lot better, and I think that they give the Wizards opportunities for a good portion of this game. So one strong quarter gets over this number. Like, one strong quarter, and you're guaranteed to get over this number. I'll take the over 208.5. Scott?
I'm actually on the under in this one. It's about pace for me. Dallas is dead last in pace, and Washington is 4th slowest in the league. Both teams really don't want to run. And with Beal being out, who can go for 30 at any time, I roasted the entire Wizards roster, basically, besides Kuzma and besides Porzingis. I mean, I said Avdija shouldn't be in the league. I'm not a fan of the supporting cast. I really just think this team is bad. If you just go through the overall roster, I don't like Dallas' supporting cast either. And Christian Wood being out is a big deal. I don't like the weapons. The pace is going to be brutal. I'm on the under. I know yesterday Terrell and I said that one of these teams, if not both, might not reach 100, and both of them did not reach 100. I think one of these teams is guaranteed to not reach 100 points in this game. I'm going with the under.
All right. Let's get
what about you? You can't just top out like that.
Yeah,
what do you
sorry.
Got?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I mentioned it. Yeah, I like the under in this game as well. It's in a lot of times we do talk about totals. It's the first thing I really do look at is season-long pace and then like last five-game pace. And what you just mentioned there, Scott, that both teams don't get up and down on the floor. And I think points will be at a premium here tonight. And probably looking like a 100 to 94 type of game, something like that. I think in the 190s is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think Washington gets to 100.
Yeah. So I think that Dallas does cover, and then the game does go under the total here between the Mavericks and the Wizards here. All right, guys, let's get over to the next game of the night. It's going to be an Eastern Conference matchup between the Philadelphia 76ers in Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Looking at the line for this game, the opening line here was -1.5 in favor of the Atlanta Hawks. Starting to see some minus ones out there, even some pick'ems out there as well. But over on WinBet, -1 total opened up at 222.5. That number has been starting to see some 223s pop up for this game. Let's check the injury report for both of these teams. Atlanta not yet one submitted. They did play last night for the Philadelphia 76ers. We know about James Harden missing about a month with a right foot injury. PJ Tucker is questionable here tonight with a left hip contusion, but Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, all those guys should be out there for the Philadelphia 76ers. Terrell, let me start with you on this game between the Sixers and the Atlanta Hawks, where the Hawks are a very, very slight favorite here of -1.5 with a total of 223.
I'm so disappointed in Atlanta last night. I don't know what I want to do with this game because, one, these two teams do play each other hard. I think this line is exactly where it's supposed to be at, basically a pick 'em. And I think I got to go with Philly, man. I hate to say it, but I think I got to go with Philly. And it's just because of the fact of Atlanta is just let – the Jazz do whatever they wanted last night, like whatever they wanted. I don't know what Lauri Markkanen was preseason for most improved player of the year, but I'm pretty sure it was high, and he looked like Bird last night. Like he was absolutely cooking this Hawks defense. And
Lauri Bird movement?
Yeah, Lauri Bird. We about to trademark that Lauri Bird because
he's the second lowest odds to win most improved player right now.
Yeah, but it was crazy. It hadn't been crazy preseason. Like preseason hadn't been crazy, but it's really just that. And it seemed like Trae Young was really, really bad last night. Like really, he started that game 3 for 14, and that really kind of threw off the rhythm. And I wish I had seen it coming because I just feel like whenever Trae comes off of an injury or off of a reason he had to sit, he always needs a little bit more time to acclimate, like re-acclimate himself, or he's shooting bad or something's just off. And he looked like somebody that did not look healthy last night when I was watching.
For the record, he went 10 for 28 last night.
Yeah, that's how it ended. And it was a terrible start. Like when I started looking at the game, I said, dang, the Jazz are up. And I'm like, this dude's 3 for 14, like, of course. And I just think that the pace that the 76ers are going to run in this game, because they never choose just one. I'm starting to realize this about them. They're never going to run just one pace. They're going to run whatever personnel is out there. So if Embiid and a certain personnel is out there, they're going to go slow. If he's sitting and they got Maxey out there, then they're like, all right, we're about to run. And that kind of unorthodox changing of the pace throughout the games, that's really frustrating. Like, that's really frustrating. That's a lot of quick adjustments that you have to make towards and with Nate McMillan. I know I'm going against my Atlanta at home here, but I'm kind of feeling Philly in this spot.
Okay. And again, do we think that Trae Young plays? I mean, he played last night. He was a game time decision, but he did end up playing with a shin injury. But now you have Philly coming to town. I think that he should be in this game. But Scott, let me get to you on this game. -1.5 for the Atlanta Hawks.
I like the under in this game. Okay. I actually gave it out overnight. I think it's just a very good deal. You're looking at Philly since Harden got hurt. They can't score. They've scored less than 105 points in each of their two games without Harden. And defensively, they've been in really, really good. Maybe because Harden's a bad defender. Maybe they've just stepped up with the new lineups. But each of Philly's last two games with Harden being injured have had less than 211. Philly also ranks 29th in pace. But if you look at their overall roster, this team stinks in terms of depth. And it's not surprising because Harden's getting paid a bunch of money. And he's not going to be in the lineup. You're also paying Tobias Harris a bunch of money. And I think he's pretty mid. I think we can agree on that. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at their starting lineup, and PJ Tucker might not play, which is unfortunate. I want him to play. He's a very good under player because he has no offensive talent besides corner threes, and he plays good defense. But you're looking at their lineup. You have Maxey and Embiid, both really good. Tobias Harris is mediocre. Then you're looking at PJ Tucker, who stands in the corner the entire time, and Melton, who's been a train wreck since he became a starter. And on the bench, you have Niang, Paul Reed, a little bit of Tybull and Shake Milton. Like, the supporting cast is awful for this team. And you're looking at Atlanta, they can't shoot. We've talked about this before. We don't think that their shooting is really existent, especially with Bogdanović being out. You mentioned Trey potentially not playing. I'm not sure he's going to play.
Yeah.
Back-to-back after battling a leg injury. I don't know if he's going to play in this game, so that's definitely a question mark. But mm-hmm. I like the under. To go through the historical trends here, five of the last six meetings have had less than 217. Last three games, even with Atlanta being terrible against Utah defensively, Atlanta ranks fifth in defensive rating, Philly ranks seventh. So both teams have been better defensively. But with the pace alone, Philly is so slow, and they need to be, because Embiid has to be their high usage guy, especially with Harden being out.
Yeah,
I think they're going to kill the pace in this game, not to mention fatigue with Atlanta in the second half of a back-to-back. I like the under. I think this number is way too high. I'm on the under.
It's a great point that you bring up about, number one, that you should see a better defensive effort from the Atlanta Hawks after what happened last night against the Utah Jazz.
And they've been good defensively, even with that terrible performance in the last couple games.
And there was two quarters last night where they gave up 37 or more points. I think it was the second and fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, they gave up 40. They got buried in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I think that you'll see the better defensive effort. And, you know, we talked about this early in the season that – with Joel Embiid on the floor, the pace does slow down because he can't get up. He can't get up and down the floor, and there's no rhyme or rhythm as far as pace, like you mentioned, with the Sixers team. That if he's off the floor, Maxey gets the ball, they're going to push it down the floor. Embiid's on the floor, they're going to slow the pace down, try to get into their half court offense. So, I like the numbers that you laid out there. Yeah, I was leaning towards the under in this game as well. As far as the side, Terrell was right, man. It's I think. For me, we probably have to wait closer to game time. I would lean towards the Sixers as well. But until we find out if you like the Sixers, you probably want to bet them now, thinking if Trae Young doesn't go because he is battling that shin or leg injury, that he doesn't go. Obviously, the line then will move in favor of the Philadelphia 76ers in this game. But the more rested team here with the Philadelphia 76ers, Atlanta played in a back or played last night, like we mentioned, against the Utah Jazz. I'll go with the Sixers here as well. Love that underplay, what you just mentioned there, Scott. I'll probably join you on that underplay here tonight. Any player props you guys are looking at this game, Terrell? I'll start with you.
Yeah, Maxey. I'm all over Maxey.
Auto bet, right?
Yeah, Maxey's going to have a big day today.
He was also terrible last game, so you're assuming he'll bounce back. What was he, 4-for-18 last game?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I think he had 11 or 14 points in that game. But, Maxey, I think you could find this at 23.5 right now for him to go over that number. Scott, any player props you're looking at?
I'm looking at Capella rebounds. It's a spot where you could worry about foul trouble, which is always an issue when you're against Embiid.
Yeah.
Okongwu's what, like 6'8", 6'9"?
Around there.
He's going to get buried by Embiid. Like, they have to play Capella a bunch of minutes. They don't have any other options. I think that Capella is going to get a decent workload. He didn't play many minutes yesterday, but he had 19 rebounds. He was really good yesterday, and Okongwu ended up playing 20 minutes. He was a negative 17 from the floor. Capella was plus 7. But 15 points and 19 rebounds in 26 minutes. But you're just looking at the matchup. I don't think Okongwu can actually handle Embiid both from a height perspective and a weight perspective. Shouldn't Capella get a boost in minutes because he's their only counter for Embiid in the entire lineup?
He should. I was just looking at the game log for Clint Capella over his last games against the Sixers, at least as a member of the Atlanta Hawks. He's had 10 or more rebounds in 4 of the 5 games.
I'm going to go with rebounds there. I don't know about double-double, though, because he really doesn't look to shoot the ball. It depends on the price available, but for rebounds,
lobs. Yeah.
He better get a bunch of minutes in this game, because if he doesn't, Embiid's going for 40.
Yeah. Anything else for this game, guys?
Nope.
All right. Before we get over to the last two games of the evening here on Thursday night, let me tell you guys about the newly relaunched SGPN merch store. Look, it's the holiday season, and you need to get your shopping done early at the SGPN merch store. We all have that degen in our life, and that's why you're probably listening to all the pods that we do on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And what better way to get them a stocking stuffer from the SGPN merch store? There's some great Christmas items that they have dropped. A sweater, not an ugly sweater, but I know a lot of you will have, you know, family parties and friends with your friends, holiday parties, even at work, asking you to maybe wear an ugly sweater or just a Christmas sweater. And SGPN, we've put that on the website. And also, before Thanksgiving, if you shop and get those holiday presents for that DJ in your life, you're going to get 10% off when you use promo code Dallas Sucks. That's DallasSucks. Dallas Sucks for 10% off before Thanksgiving. So make sure to check out the merch store there. Check out the Christmas items that we do have. A lot of good looking stuff on there. And make sure to also grab an NBA gambling podcast t-shirt or hat or whatever it is to your liking. So 10% off before Thanksgiving using promo code Dallas Sucks. All right, guys, next game on the schedule tonight is going to be a 7:30 Eastern start. It's going to be the Charlotte Hornets going down to South Beach to take on the Miami Heat. Looking at the lines for this game, the Miami Heat opened up as a 10.5-point favorite. That number has stayed the course at 10.5. Total opened up at 217. That number has now been bet down to around 215 over on WinBet. Looking at the injury reports for both of these teams, Charlotte, no injury reports submitted yet for the Miami Heat. Tyler Hero and Caleb Martin remain questionable here tonight, and we know that Victor Oladipo and Omar Yurtseven are out with left ankle and left knee injuries, respectively. But this Charlotte team has just not looked very good without LaMelo Ball, without Gordon Hayward in the lineup. When you have those two caliber players not in your lineup, that falls a lot of scoring pressure on a guy like Terry Rozier. But, Scott, let me start with you on this game. Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat, where the Miami Heat are a 10.5-point home favorite here.
I faded the Hornets last night, and nothing's going to stop me from fading them against Miami. You're looking at their last couple of games. They've lost six in a row. They've scored less than 101, I believe, in five of those games. Each of their last five, I think they've scored less than 101. They can't score. And LaMelo might potentially return. I doubt it. Hayward is still out. Their two best offensive players right now are Rozier and Kelly Oubre. I'm not surprised they can't reach 100 points in a given game. But you're looking at what this team does well. They don't really do anything well. You have Mason Plumlee and Richards as your centers. They've been a decent pair, but Plumlee is still going to get killed by Adebayo probably in this game. Yeah. Miami's had a couple days off because they didn't play yesterday or the day prior, and Charlotte's on a back-to-back with travel involved. The last three games, Charlotte lost to the Nets without Kyrie, the Wizards without Bradley Beal, and the Trailblazers without Jeremy Grant and Nurkic. This team is awful. As far as I'm concerned, it's an auto-fade team. Give me Miami. They've been struggling this season. They've been a little bit better lately, but still not where they want to be. It's a game where Miami should come out and punch them in the mouth. They've won each of the last five games against them in the head-to-head. Four of those five wins have been by 10-plus points. I think Miami buries this team. I think Charlotte probably scores 90, like flat, and Miami might score 105, 110. Miami could win this game by 20. It really would not surprise me, but give me the Heat. I think they win in a rout in this game.
Yeah, you mentioned Bam Adebayo there. He has had a lot of success against his Hornets team. Over his last nine career games against the Hornets, he scored 20 or more points against the Hornets.
You know why. High Point, North Carolina. Shout out to my guy KG. Shout out to Bam. You know, High Point, North Carolina. North Carolina boys. Like, of course he's gonna show out against. They picked Bam up off the street when he was hooping in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, come on now. They know.
So I'm expecting a big game from Bam here tonight as well. Seen his points prop at 18.5 at even money, and also rebounds at 9.5. He's had 10 or more rebounds in three out of the last four games against the Charlotte Hornets team. But I mean, yeah, you mentioned there, Scott. It's just a difference of talent right now, right? And for lack of better words, because again, Hornets are missing Gordon Hayward, LaMelo Ball, where the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero's questionable here tonight, but they have just far more scoring options for the Miami Heat versus the Charlotte Hornets. And sometimes it just kind of comes down to that. And you mentioned it, that they haven't been able to score, 100 or more points in four out of the last five games. Right now, they're on a six-game losing streak. Are the Charlotte Hornets. They've lost, I think, seven out of their last eight games as well. So just not very good right now for the Hornets, and they're just not healthy as well. So I'll lay the points here with the Miami Heat against the Hornets. Terrell, any case to be made for the Charlotte Hornets here tonight?
Yeah, Miami Heat are 1-5 ATS as a home favorite this year. So, I mean, if that's your case, that's the case right there. Miami has been terrible this year. They have not looked good in the games that they are supposed to look good in. They've lost a number of those games outright, and that's really it. This is the litmus test for me. This is the test. If they do not cover this game, I'll play Miami here. If they do not cover this game, then I'm just good laying points with Miami the whole year. Like I already have a principle that I don't like laying points with Miami, especially on the road, but I don't like laying points in Miami, and it's so bad that they're 1-5 as a home favorite. But if they can't cover this 10.5 against the Hornets tonight, then that's it. Like, I'm good. I'm just not going to – if the Heat are a favorite, I'm just not going to look their way. I'm going to not play that spread, or I'm going to play the dog. But it just doesn't look good for the start of the season for the Miami Heat right now. 1-5 is abysmal. So I'll play them here. This is the last spot. This is the spot that determines if I'm about to start fading them or not. But -10.5 against this Hornets team and how they look right now, they should really bury them.
It's also a series of limits because of the rest advantage. You haven't played in a couple days. Charlotte's on a back-to-back with travel.
If you don't cover this 10.5, it's crazy.
It's one of those games where if Miami does – let's just say Miami does not cover or just struggles in this game. You're going to look back on later on in the year and say, if they took care of business against the bad teams in their division, they might have won the division. But it's really, really bad right now. But the Charlotte is – I don't think it's even a case. I think they're the worst offense in the league right now, and it's not even close.
Yeah, let's get over to the total here in this game, guys, because I feel like this might be a game that
it's plummeted, the total.
Yeah, I think we probably already missed a number, but it's still sitting at 215 here, Scott. Any thoughts on it?
I'm on the under. I said Charlotte's going to score 90. So if I have one team scoring 90, then I'm not picking Miami to score 125. But Charlotte can't score. Adebayo knows a good rim protector. I'm hoping defensively Miami, they've been better lately. It's really been the offense that's been an issue, but I think defensively they'll be able to really take advantage of a shorthanded Charlotte team. They have no real threats on the interior. They're also not a great three-point shooting team. The bench for Charlotte's not great either. I really just think Charlotte's going to drag this total down. I like the team total under for Charlotte. I don't think they get to 100 in this game. But give me the under here. Charlotte is that bad offensively. I watched it with my own eyes. They are a really bad offensive team.
Terrell, any thoughts on the total?
You want to make a contrarian overcase. I can see it.
It's not even a contrarian overcase. I think that Miami should score a lot of points. It's just, can Charlotte do enough to keep up, or Miami let up off the gas and let them keep up? Maybe I'm leaning towards a Miami team total over.
Yeah.
And just that Miami just puts on a clinic, and in a game that they really need to just flex their muscles like this. They need a game where they just kill a team, flex their muscles, kind of get everybody's feeling good from their spot, shooting the ball well, and they can move on to the next game. So I'm playing a Miami team total over.
I will say this, then, the four victories so far this season for the Miami Heat, they've scored 110 or more points here in those four games. They had 110 against the Kings, 116 against the Warriors, 112 against the Raptors, and 119 against the Portland Trail Blazers. Currently, number is spot on. It's sitting at 112.5 right now. So I think that this might be a game where we see like 115 to like 90 5 or something like that in favor of the Miami Heat. Shout out to the chat, man, on the YouTube chat. If you haven't joined this already, it's really popping, guys. Are in there, David's in there. We got Zach, the Miami Heat fan. He's saying Miami doesn't look good even with all their stars.
They don't. I actually don't really want to take Miami, but I'm going to do it.
Ryan McIntyre is also in there as well. Charlotte looks even worse.
Charlotte's an auto fade as far as I'm concerned. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, Ryan in the chat as well. Shout out to Ryan, also the co-host on the NFL Gambling Podcast. Thanks for joining us, guys. So, so Miami, for both all three of us, reluctantly for Terrell, this is going to be the last straw that he's going to give the Miami Heat before we start, or he starts fading them.
No, I promise you, they do not cover this game. They are on like this is the perfect, and it's not even like it's 13, 14, like it's 10 and a half.
Yeah.
Like if they do not cover this spread, I'm really done with them. Like absolutely.
Yeah. We talked about Bam Adebayo. Any other player props you guys are looking at in this game, Terrell?
Yeah, Bam looks like a good play. I kind of want to play Charlotte side of ball because I still do think that Charlotte, like I said, I don't trust the Miami Heat right now. So I do think that Charlotte is gonna do some things right. And so maybe Kelly Oubre threes type of thing, or looking for different threes prop because the Heat have been abysmal guarding the three-point line this season and for the most part of this season. So I'll be looking at that. Just a couple of points prop on the Charlotte side. I really like these games where you're getting a double-digit spread with one team, and because that juices the props on the other side of the underdog, and somebody is going to score. Like they're just not going to go out there and not score any points.
Yeah, that's a good point that you brought about the three-point shooting defense of the Miami Heat. They are number 28 as far as makes allowed per game at 14.4. An opponent three-point percentage against Miami Heat, they're at 38.1, which ranks number 26 in the entire league. So, yeah, maybe Kelly Oubre is able to knock down a couple shots here or a couple three-point shots here as well. Let me look that number up. Meanwhile, I know, Scott, you talked about Bam Adebayo in this game. Any other player props you're looking at in this game?
I was trying to look for a hero prop, but unfortunately, I don't see him listed. I'm not even sure
he's questionable
why.
For tonight.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So I do think that if he is going to play, I don't mind his overs, but Miami, of course, is doing some weird stuff with the actual injury report again. I don't mind Jimmy Butler assists. If you actually look at his numbers against the Hornets, he's had 8 assists in each of the last 2 meetings. So he has been pretty active in terms of getting his teammates involved. And I do think if you want to talk about what Miami can do offensively, they might be able to pick their poison in this game. I think they have a lot of options. Charlotte defensively is an okay unit, maybe not the greatest. Butler should have the ball in his hands a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're looking at his assists at around 5.5, it seems a little short to me. I don't mind the over there. I think that Butler could have himself a good game. Maybe a sneaky triple-double watch, maybe. Okay. But I do think if you want to look for an assist prop, I don't mind Butler at 5.5. I see his triple-double at around 14-1. Let's just say I've seen worse 14-1 shots.
All right. Going back to the Kelly Oubre three-point shots here, Terrell. He's sitting at 2.5 right now. I kind of like that over. I know he hasn't shot the ball very well over his last 2 games here.
Yeah.
Where he's only 2 of 18, but I think
it's all about the volume, though. It's the volume.
Yeah, and he's getting the volume up as well, right? He's had, 29 attempts over his last 3 games. But going up against his defense of the Miami Heat, who hasn't been very good against a three-point shot, I think that might be worth a look. Maybe you want to ladder that up to a 4 for Kelly Oubre here tonight if they want a chance to.
And it should be down in this game. He's going to look to fire out a bunch of them. If he gets to 5, it's probably a really nice payout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's get over to the last game of the night. It's going to be an 8 o'clock Eastern start for this game. It's going to be the Portland Trail Blazers headed to the Big Easy to take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Looking at the opening lines for this game, it was -6.5 in favor of the New Orleans Pelicans. The current line is sitting at -6 over on WinBet. Total opened up at 225. That number has been bet down to 224 over on WinBet. Both of these, sorry, it's at 225 as far as the total. Looking at the injury report for both of these teams, not yet one submitted because both of these teams did play last night. The Portland Trail Blazers, like we talked about, got the victory over the Charlotte Hornets, 105-95, and the New Orleans Pelicans with a big fourth quarter from BI last night in Chicago, got the victory there, 115-111 against the Chicago Bulls. Now both of these teams match up in New Orleans. where, like I mentioned, the Pelicans are a 7-point favorite now over on WinBet. Terrell, let me start with you on this game. Portland Trail Blazers headed to New Orleans to take on the Pelicans as a 7-point underdog on the road here. What are you thinking about this game?
Bro, I'm on Portland. Like, yeah, there's nothing that's taking me off of this Portland team. Like, Portland is an auto bet for me at this point. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you throw at them. This Portland team is always going to battle, and I understand why this line is so big. And, you know, you're sitting here back-to-back talking about injuries and who's playing, who may not be playing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me at this point. It doesn't matter to me at this point. Whatever lineup Portland throws out there, Portland is one of my favorite teams this season. They find ways to cover. They especially find ways to cover as a dog. We just talked about Miami, and they went on the road to Miami and found a way to cover that game across coast. And I know they had some injuries that, you know, Simons ended up playing, Dame ended up playing, so of course it made it a little bit better, but that's still a really tough road win. And now they went over here, handled Charlotte as they were supposed to, going back towards the West Coast. They get the Pelicans and a Pelicans team that we're kind of underwhelming about. Yes, I like Portland. I think Portland has what they need in terms of scoring. They're playing a lot better defense. Chauncey has this team locked into the beginning of the season. I hope that he can keep their attention throughout the entirety of the season, because not how you start, it's how you finish. But this Portland team is playing really, really well right now. And guess what? I don't think that they've had too many times that they had their entire lineup in. Matter of fact, I know for a fact they haven't had their entire lineup in, because guess what? Gary Payton II is still not back yet. So it's so much more to see from this Portland team. I'm not backing this Pelicans team laying this amount of points. Give me Portland plus 7.
Portland has just been a covering machine to start the season so far this year. They are, let's see here, 9-2 against the spread. Percentage-wise, best in the league, right up there with the Milwaukee Bucks. As an away team so far this season on the road, Portland is 5-1 against the spread. And as an away underdog this season, in five games, again, small samples, Portland 4-1 against the spread at 80%. For the Pelicans, as a home team this season against the spread, they are, let's see here, 1-2 against the spread. This is only going to be their fourth game. But as a favorite, the New Orleans Pelicans are just 2-4 against the spread so far this season. So like Terrell mentioned, I think that this team just doesn't give up. Doesn't really matter who's out there. I know Nurkic and Jeremy Grant missed the game last night against the Miami Heat. Maybe they go here tonight. Maybe that's why they held them out last night. But it'll be interesting to see, to keep an eye on this injury report, because I know it was kind of going up and down last night for the Portland Trailblazers. But, Scott, let me get over to you for this game. Blazers as a 7-point underdog here against the New Orleans Pelicans.
I don't really have any great read on this game, to be totally honest with you, because Portland was really playing games with the injury report yesterday. And they ended up deciding to rest Nurkic and Grant, but Lillard and Simons played. They're all probable going into the game. Does that mean they might be tag-teaming two guys in and two guys out for this game? I don't know. I'm not sure if Portland might potentially just swap the two in and take Lillard and give him a day off. So it remains to be seen. Keep an eye on that injury report. But I do think at the end of the day, assuming everyone's healthy, this number seems a bit large. So yeah. I am going to lean Portland. Portland's 5-1 on the road. Both teams played a back-to-back in competitive games, so I don't think that fatigue's going to be really an impact one way or another. But New Orleans is a team that really has a hard time blowing out opponents, and I know that they have been good in limited action in the Smoothie King Center, but I do think unless Portland has officially announced that a couple guys are out, I'm not laying 6.5 here. This game really just seems like it's going to come down to the wire. I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on this. With you guys, sorry, with Portland here as well.
I'm under, but I don't feel great about the total either.
I feel like tonight's enough. Well, if you take a look at the defensive efficiency numbers and defensive rating-wise numbers for this team, Portland, like you mentioned, that Chauncey Billups has got this team to play defense. They're number 8 as far as defensive rating so far this season. Pelicans not too far behind at number 12 in the entire league as far as defensive rating goes here. So I agree with what everything Terrell just said there about this Portland team, that they just don't give up. Maybe they're tag teaming guys in and out, but it doesn't matter. It feels like who's on the court, that they're just going out and playing hard every single night. And their spread record is indicative of that. Their overall record is indicative of that as well, where they're sitting at 8-3 so far through 11 games in this season. Any other, or is this good to the total here? I do like the under in this game as well. It's right now currently at 225. Scott, did you mention anything about the total there?
Oh, we lost Scott. Oh my God, we lost Scott. No.
All right, let's go, Terrell. Any thought? We'll get him.
I looked up and Scott was gone. I'm over here trying to tout that we gave out a 32-1 parlay, and I look up and Scott's gone.
Terrell, any thoughts on the total?
Yeah, no. All right, total. I'm going with an over. Wait, hold on. Let me think about that because I really like what Portland's been doing defensively.
Yeah, they're number 8 as far as defensive rating. Let me check their over-under numbers.
But New Orleans can just let you – all right, so if I play this, I'm playing a team total over for the Pelicans – not Pelicans, but for the Portland Trailblazers. Because ultimately, I think Portland's going to do their job on the scoring end of the basketball. I don't think that there's going to be, you know, any issues of trying to exploit that New Orleans Pelicans defense on their end. Now, if the Pelicans keep up their side on, you know, they're on a back-to-back with travel as well because they played in Chicago last night. So,
yeah,
will Pelicans be able to keep up their side? Maybe not. I'll take a team total over for Portland.
This is a tale of two teams that are on the opposite spectrums as far as the total goes. New Orleans, the best team towards the over at 8-3 at 72.7%. The Portland Trailblazers, second worst, or they're more trendy towards the under. Right down there with the Clippers, Portland 7-3-1 to the under at 70% so far this season. Only team that's more favorable to the under, like I mentioned, the LA Clippers 10-2, where they're at 83% towards the under. So, yeah, being in a back-to-back situation here, I again, do we see Zion playing in a back-to-back game here, or even, you know, BI or some of the other guys? But I'm going to lean towards the under here as well. Scott, I know we lost you there for a second, but you're back. Talking about the total here at 225, any thoughts on that?
I'm going to lean to the under. It's a back-to-back with travel for both teams. I don't feel great about it, but there's injury concerns or potential resting spots for both teams. So I'm going to lean to the under just based on the actual uncertainty of who's going to play.
All right. Any player props you guys are looking at in this game? Terrell, let me start with you.
Do we just take Dame and CJ to have a really good game? Like,
oh yeah, they're going up against each other.
Do we just say Dame and CJ?
CJ revenge game.
I don't know. Let me go back and look through CJ's. I just feel like CJ's due. I feel like CJ
had a bad shooting night last night.
Yeah, what?
I think he had a bad shooting night last night.
Yeah. I know he ain't
to like the fourth quarter or something.
Yeah, I know he ain't do nothing last night. Let me look at his last couple games because it just feels like CJ has not been aggressive because you have Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. He really hasn't need to. So yeah, I mean, he's been doing all right. He's had a couple – hasn't hit the 30-point threshold. He's been close a couple of games and has some good – I think CJ's due. He had 9 two games ago, 7 last game.
Yeah.
This is Dame. This is probably a little bit of a look at his spot. Dame, he probably goes and attacks Simons and attacks Dame and really tries to put the pressure on them defensively. Yeah, I'll go with a nice Dame and CJ to have a good game there.
Yeah, CJ's points prop right now, 20.5. Damian Lillard, 25.5 here tonight for the Portland Trailblazers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Scott, any player props you like for this game?
I'm not sure who's going to play for Portland, but if you end up seeing Nurkic and Grant out again, I do like Josh Hart over in rebounds. Okay. He's been a very good rebounding, either forward or guard, whatever you want to call him. But I do think at over 7.5 at plus 115, it's a decent price. Just go through the last couple of games. He had 11 against Charlotte last night, had 9 against Miami, 7 against Phoenix, had 9 against Phoenix the game prior to that. I just think that he's a guy who really could end up being a big piece for this team because if they're going to be missing Nurkic and they're going to have to try to battle on the glass, it's not going to go well. But somebody's got to grab rebounds, and Josh Hart's pretty good at it. I don't mind Josh Hart over 3.5 assists as well. 3.5 is insanely low. To go through his last couple of games, he only had 2 against Charlotte. But the games before that, in order, he had 8-8-6-4-4-6. His number's 3.5. I think that number's too low. I'm going to take the over in assists.
His assists and rebounds are sitting at 11.5 at plus 110.
Yeah, but I see 3.5 at minus 150. It is juicy towards the over. But, I mean, I just mentioned the numbers. Besides the 2 against Charlotte, he's been really cruising to basically 6 in the last 3 games before that, cruising to 4 in the last 6 games before the game yesterday. Yeah. He's an underrated assist guy. I think 3.5 is too low.
All right. Terrell, anything else as far as player props you got? Are you cooking something up there for the Lock and Dog segment?
That I'm trying to put a little something together. This does seem like a fun game to target, and just because I really do think that Portland has a possibility to get whatever they want against the Pelicans, and if you put, you know, the right combo together, you're going to be looking nice. But I'm definitely going to play some form of Dame and CJ. I'm looking for how I want to match it up.
Do you want to go 30 apiece? 30 Lillard, 25 CJ? How do you want to go about it?
Yeah, you can do 30 apiece. 30 apiece puts you at 180. What's that? So 18-1. So you got 18-1 with that. You could bring CJ down to 25, and that's going to bring you to 7-1. Like, there's multiple ways of playing this, and I do think that those two have a really good game. And, you know, it's just so many options for Portland. I really like this Portland team. I'm playing Portland on the money line.
All right, let's get into our lock and dog here for tonight. I will lead it off here. Let me start with my lock. I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks here tonight, -3.5 against the Washington Wizards. I think it's just a class difference right now. I know Dallas is coming off the loss last night against the Orlando Magic, but Washington team just, you know, we talked about it. They just haven't been very good. No Bradley Beal here tonight. Bradley Kibabag Beal before Terrell chews me out.
Thank you.
I just think that this is a good bounce back spot here for the Dallas Mavericks here with Luka. Should have a better shooting night here as well, where he was only 9 of 29 last night, and should get some contributions from other guys as well for the Dallas Mavericks. So Dallas -3.5 against the Washington Wizards as my lock. For my dog, I think there's really one option that we all kind of like here. I think it might be – it's got to be the Portland Trailblazers here tonight. That number's starting to move. In favor of the Portland Trailblazers, starting to see some 6.5s popping up, but give me the Portland Trailblazers on the money line, +210, and +6.5 on the spread here as well. Portland has just been great. I think there's no better way to put it, especially against the spread so far this season. We talked about how this roster and they're playing defense. I know they've had guys in and out of the lineup as well, but they're playing hard every single night. They're giving you a 48-minute effort every single night. And, you know, the Pelicans, after the victory last night in Chicago, both teams are traveling. I understand that. But maybe guys like – or a player like Zion may sit out here tonight because it is a back-to-back. Or maybe even Brandon Ingram sits out here tonight. So I think Portland, if they have Nurk in the game, if they do get Jeremy Grant, that's just more reinforcements for this Portland team to have here tonight. So I'll take Portland as my dog at +210. Scott, let me go over to you. Lock and dog for tonight. What do you got?
All right. So for the lock, I contemplated if I should do a player prop or not. I thought about maybe Charlotte team total under, but I ended up sweeping the lock and dog yesterday with player props. So I'll go back to it. The more I look into it, the more I actually like Josh Hart. I'm going to take him over 3.5 assists. I found -142. So it is a bit juicy, but I still like it. It's mostly just based on the volume. He's played at least 31 minutes in every game this season. He's played at least 34 minutes in every game besides two. So he's an extremely important piece of this overall roster. Grant and Nurkic are questionable. So assuming one of them doesn't play, Hart should get potentially even more minutes because they really don't have many other options. But I do think if you're looking at the overall defense for New Orleans, we know it's awful. New Orleans is also allowing 26.6 assists per game, which ranks tied for 22nd in the league. So they allow a bunch of assists, and I do think that with Hart getting the ball in his hands, maybe they trap Lillard on some pick and rolls, maybe they try to get the ball out of their hands. To the fact that Hart has had at least 4 assists in really just a decent amount of games in the last couple of weeks, I think makes his number undervalued. Hart has had, once again, at least 4 assists in 6 of the last 7 games. I think it's a good price for a team that's awful at defense. So I'm going to go with Hart over 3.5 assists and -142.
All right. And what do you got for your dog tonight?
For my dog, I will go back to player props, but I will take Capella. I'm going to take him 12-plus rebounds or over 11.5 rebounds at +210. I think it's a very nice plus price. Based on the matchup itself, he has to play a bunch of minutes against Embiid. You have no other choice. Okongwu is too skinny. He'll get killed if he's against Embiid. I think you have to try to give Capella a boost in minutes. He had 19 rebounds last game. And surprisingly, he's played against the Sixers a lot in his career. He's only picked up 5 fouls one time in his career. So he's actually been really good at avoiding foul trouble against Embiid in his career. But based on the overall minutes that he should be getting, based on the fact that he's a really good rebounder. I think 11.5 at plus 210 is a very nice plus price. I'm going to take the over.
All right, so lock for Scott is going to be Josh Hart over 3.5 assists and dog Clint Capella over 11.5 rebounds or at least 12 rebounds. Either way, wherever you can find that plus money price for Clint Capella here tonight against Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, Terrell, close us out strong, my man, with your lock and dog for this Thursday night schedule in the association.
Easy enough. Lock, Dallas, -3.5.
All right.
Dog, Portland, plus 225 on the money line. Portland gets it done on the road tonight.
Dog.
We need to back in two back-to-back teams on the road early in the season.
All right. And did you guys cook up or y'all want to cook up a player prop parlay again for tonight?
I mean, yeah, we could put a little something.
I just like how Terrell and I liked a bunch of players to go for 30 plus last night, and you had like and 14 players that ended up going for 30 plus. We were just feeling it for some reason. I don't know.
Saw that graphic last night. I think Cameron put it in there.
All right. Maxey's at 23.5, man. That feels like we're getting a deal.
I like Bam's rebounds here tonight as well. That number was at.
I saw double-double was like minus 115. So Bam's basically expected to get 10 rebounds.
What was the other one that I liked?
So let's just go. Let's go easy. Let's go easy at first. So Maxey, I like Maxey points. Bam over 9.5. We could throw that in there.
Yeah.
If you had to pick between Dame, CJ, which one are you going?
I would go CJ. Just thinking that maybe Zion or B.I. sits here tonight, and you would think this is a good get-up spot for him against his former team and the shooting slump that he has been in. That's just my take.
So CJ, so we got three. We want to go over three. We want to keep it. We could keep it at three. We can keep it at three. That's 6-1. That's 6-1 on the regular props. And then we got to juice everybody. So let's... Maxey for 25 is plus 108.
I'm trying to cook up my own thing in the meanwhile. So
300 for Max. I mean, +3 to 1 for 30. You got to go with the 3-1. All right, let's go Maxey 3-1. Bam. You said he goes crazy rebounding.
He's had success against them rebounding. But I'll
12 for 2-1.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
All right, 12 for 2-1. And then do we give CJ 30? We give CJ 25. 25 for CJ is plus 220. We don't have to be too greedy.
Yeah, 25 is a good number.
All right, so Maxey 30. So we had 6-1, all the regular props. Then we got Maxey 30 plus points, Bam 12 plus rebounds, CJ 25 plus points, 37-1.
Ooh, all right. I like it. I like it. All right, Scott, what you cooked up?
So kind of
Scott had his own group project.
I was doing my own group project and trying to get an A, but still, just going through the first one, I was contemplating between either Kuzma double-double or taking Porzingis double-double, and I ended up getting to Porzingis. I'm not sure which one I should take, but either way, I think one of them should end up having a double-double in this matchup. Kuzma 10-plus rebounds, by the way, plus 265. That's kind of appealing, but I'll go with Porzingis double-double at plus 172. I'll take Capella. 12 plus rebounds at plus 210, and I'll take Josh Hart over 3.5 assists, and that pays out at roughly 13-1. However, if you do want to take Hart and put him at 6 plus assists instead of 4 plus assists, it moves up to around 31-1.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We got a couple plays. We are going to cash nicely tonight.
Yeah. Hey, it's only four games, and we cooked up a lot of parlays here and obviously our lock and dog. All right, guys. Anything else you guys want to get off your chest before we get out of here, Terrell?
No. I'm ready to go.
Scott, anything else, my man?
No. You can find me on Twitter, Rice Show Radio, a bunch of podcasts. I link everything, including my YouTube picks. So check me out there, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow on the NBA Gambling Podcast. As usual, hopefully the usual time. Delonte will be here on the pod as well as the newest co-host of the NBA Gambling Podcast. But make sure to follow Twitter. Make sure to follow Terrell on Twitter at ReallyReal _. Follow Scott on Twitter at Rice Show Radio. Follow me on Twitter at SportsNerd824, and make sure to follow the NBA Gambling Podcast account at SGPNNBA. All right, let's make some money here tonight, guys. Good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Ba-da-ba-da-da.